Music and information.
Hello, my name is Harrison Smiley and I work for the South Scotland Electricity Board. But I'm not smiling because lots of my consumers are withholding 20% of their electricity bill. I send them these letters to pay.
Consumer campaign. Then send it to the consumer campaign, care of the Smiling Sun Shop, 37 West Liberty Street, Edinburgh. The remainder of your bill is sent to Roy Derrick, chairman of the SSEB, at SSEB headquarters, Half-Track Head, Glasgow. Keep in a letter saying why he has been getting all of his money this month. You can get a sample letter from the new consumer campaign notice.
I get disconnected.
Well, you'll get the letter from a bloke called Hamilton Smiley.
Worry about it, I do know him.
Don't worry about him. It's when you get your disconnection notice that you start thinking about paying up. When you want to stop disconnection, pay up if you can afford to. Otherwise, get in touch with the consumer campaign straight away so they can send your money to the SSE.
Well, thank you very much. And
how do I get in touch with the consumer campaign again? Just in case.
Care of Smiling Sun Shop, 37 West Liberty Street, Eddie.
Councillor Lindsay said, "I believe it will do a lot to educate people in the region to the horrors of the situation." This year's Edinburgh Festival Fringe will include an exhibition by the Medical Campaign Against Nuclear Weapons. Children and young people are being invited to contribute their views in the form of paintings, poetry or tape music. Entries should be sent to the following address: Dr. Jones, care of 15 Buccleuch Place, Edinburgh. As part of a government project, Edinburgh and Glasgow have been selected as promising areas for studies into district heating. District heating schemes are widely used in other countries and are sometimes known as combined heat and power schemes. In a district heating scheme, the waste heat given off by a power station is reclaimed and used to produce hot water for heating local buildings. In the past, two-thirds of the energy going into a power station has been lost. The inhabitants of the Orkney island of Ronaldsay are still without mains electricity. The island's council has therefore given £35,000 to a Glasgow scientist, Dr. John Twiddell, to develop new sources of power. Dr. Twiddell plans to utilise the waste heat from the islanders' own generators and in addition introduce a wind-driven generator system. There is already one aerogenerator running successfully on Orkney, and the hydroelectric board plans to install two larger machines in the near future. And that's all from News Roundup.
And at the news day, Scott Ferguson. Thank you very much, Scott. Radio K on 212 metres. Good afternoon, you're listening to the Chris Austin Show. And I'm going to be with you for the next couple of hours with the very best of music from now and then. starting off the music today with Meatloaf from the LP Bad Out of Hell. This is Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Will you let me forever? Do you need me? Will you never leave me? Will you make me so happy for the rest of my life? Will you take me away? Will you make me away? Will you let me? Will you let me forever? Do you need me? Will you never? yes or no.
Have them singing in the studio here. Meatloaf and Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I wonder if anyone recognizes that line. Right now, from the year 1978, this is Television and Foxhole. Television and Foxhole. And next on the turntable is the unlikely combination of Mick Jagger and the Wandsworth Boys School Choir, or some such power like that, anyway. The name of the song was, of course, You Can't Always Get What You Want. These are some pretty impressive scratches there. I seem to remember actually that that copy of the record was so scratched that we bought a new one. So, me being me, I've managed to pick up the old one. Never mind, as they say, if you can always get what you want. Coming up now, and oldie from the Beach Boys. The name of the song is Student Demonstration Time, which is, of course, probably this time of year is exactly what it isn't. End of term and all that. Anyway, we're Detroit. About the riots at Berkeley University, California. The Beach Boys Student Demonstration Time. in tune to Radio K on 212 meters. I am the first officer. So if you want to write to us at Radio K, our address is 55 Isle Place, Edinburgh 3, in Scotland. And this coming up just now is Joan Armour Trading with some love and affection.
But I'm open to the children. If I am, I could say. So I'm open to the time. I can smile. But with a little I can hold my head up. Will it last? You took me dancing, like the flash to the tree. But when I look at the moon, at the will it dance, now if I can feel the sun. Why can't I
thank you.
Radio K on 212 meters. Thank you very much for that one. Don't forget if you want to write to us, then my address is Radio K, care of 3 Radio Enterprises, 55 Hour Place, Edinburgh 3. Drop us a line, tell us what you think of the music. Another thing we've been asking for recently is if you're involved in a band or know someone who is, then we'd like to hear from you and we'd like to get a suggestion from you. Sometimes we're hoping to give a whole show over to music by local bands and release material. And all of that heralds next to the on the table. Local band who they're doing to the last Sunday, and as usual, for visitors. This particular one, an old song there called Empty Room. visitors, empty rooms. And from 1978, this is the 45, from the point of this building, it's called fire. This is Roy Harper, name is on referendum. On the quarter. Thank you. Roy Harper from the LPHQ. That was referendum. This is Lou Reed from the LP Best of Lou Reed. This one is the very best of Lou Reed. The Wolf on the Wild Side.
Sanders Roundup. This is Scott Sanders at the Radio K News Desk, bringing you a brief review of recent events in the news, some of which hit the headlines, some of which most certainly did not. In the next few minutes, we'll look at the Israeli attack on the Iraqi nuclear reactor, see what's behind the radiation death at Beenleigh and Winfield, and take a look at plutonium nitrate, the deadly cargo that moves in secret through Scottish waters. Most of our listeners will remember the headlines when the Israelis bombed the nuclear reactor in Iraq. On Sunday 7th of June, Israeli jets destroyed the reactor just before it was due to begin operation. The attack caused an outcry, but Israel stated that they had been acting in self-defense. They said that the reactor program was intended to provide Iraq with nuclear explosives. It is certainly true that the same nuclear technology can be used for two purposes, because the nuclear power reactor fuel uranium and its byproduct plutonium are also the essential ingredients of atomic bombs. In fact, when India exploded its first atomic bomb in 1974, the plutonium had come from a supposed research reactor. Almost every aspect of civil nuclear technology can be turned to military purposes. There is no safeguard against this, apart from an agreement called the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which have been signed by some nuclear countries, including Iraq. But under this treaty, which involves inspections by the International Atomic Energy Agency, a country can opt out of the treaty at 3 months' notice, and the inspection procedures are difficult to enforce. After the bombing raid, several newspapers and journals looked into the question, just how close was Iraq to an atomic bomb? According to the journal New Scientist, Iraq had spent about 15 years developing its nuclear program and had prepared the ground for a bomb by obtaining technology and fuel from countries which had not signed the treaty. Canada, for example, refused to supply uranium to Iraq because of inadequate safeguards. So in the end, Iraq obtained the reactor and fuel from France and had also negotiated secret deliveries of uranium from Brazil. The Atomic Energy Agency tried to make out that the uranium from France was not enough to make a bomb, but an investigation by the Guardian newspaper showed that this was nonsense. The evidence therefore suggests that Iraq had deliberately set out to manufacture nuclear weapons under the cover of peaceful nuclear research. In June, two separate decisions were announced, which will help the families of three nuclear workers who died as a result of radiation exposure. The first decision was made in Edinburgh by Mr. Douglas Waite QC after a long struggle lasting 19 years by Mrs. Jeannie Gillan. Mrs. Gillan's husband, Alexander, who is a crane driver at the Doonray Nuclear Power Station, died in 1962 from leukemia. Although the special badge worn by the crane driver showed no overdose, Mr. Waite QC ruled that Mr. Gillan's death was due to radiation and that Mrs. Gillan is now entitled to industrial death benefit. A report in the Sunday Standard described Mrs. Gillan's 19-year struggle for compensation and how she suspected that an accident had been covered up. Whatever the truth of the matter, this latest ruling is the first sign that a death under these circumstances has been so clearly linked with radiation. So far, compensation to widows and families of nuclear workers has been made out of court, but in several instances long legal battles were involved. Mrs. Gillan's solicitors are now preparing to sue the Atomic Energy Authority for damages. Mrs. Gillan commented, "The actual winning is the important thing. It justifies all the years and all the time and money to get justice. There is a lot that I could say. There have been a lot of things covered up at Doonray." The second instance of a radiation poisoning was related to the Windscale nuclear plant in Cumbria. In this instance, the company made a settlement out of court for a total of £96,000. £60,000 went to the widow of Geoffrey Southward, who died from leukemia 6 years ago. Mrs. Ina Simpson received £21,000 after her husband John died from cancer of the pancreas. A further £15,000 was paid to Mr. Lofthouse, who still works for the same company. Mr. Lofthouse had to undergo surgery for cataracts in both eyes and had a cancerous kidney removed in 1977. Although it has now paid for a settlement, the company, British Nuclear Fuels, denied any liability for the men's illnesses. British Nuclear Fuels is government-controlled and is the sole supplier of fuel for nuclear power stations in this country. On the 16th of June, a deadly cargo left Scarborough Harbour in Caithness.